Several years after Bloomington and Normal started collecting sales tax dollars for mental health services in McLean County, some of those efforts are taking shape. The county has collected close to $11.4 million in sales taxes so far, but only a portion of that money is being spent now. The county plans to devote $1.7 million on mental health next year, pending county board approval next week. County Administrator Camille Rodriguez and Behavioral Health Coordinating Council Supervisor Tricia Malott speak with WGLT's Eric Stock about where that money's going. Rodriguez says a portion of the funding must be held back to address long-term needs, including a potential overhaul of the county's aging electronic justice system.
We have one of the most renowned integrated electronic criminal justice systems in the nation. However, it was implemented back in 1996 or 7, and it is in need of an upgrade to keep up with technology and servers, and so that is one of the priority areas.
Tricia, how much money has come in so far, and is there enough to fund everything in place for 2020?
We do have enough to fund what we need for 2020. The 2019 budget was relatively close to the quarter allocation for the projected year's revenue for the allocation for mental health services. And so that is one of the important pieces to keep in mind with all of this, is that the total dollars collected get divided up into quarters because there are the four priority areas, as Camille just discussed. And so mental health services are one of those areas. 2020 does expend a little bit more than what our quarter for any one year would be. But we also believe that it's important to get these programs up and running. We're also committed to making sure that the people who have perhaps fallen through the cracks or not gotten the services that they need have that ability to do so, regardless of payer source, while also having an eye toward sustainability. Everything that we are looking to implement is also geared toward becoming sustainable, so that we can then expand what we can offer and continue to seek new and innovative programming.
So while 2020 has a lot of startup costs associated with it still, what is the ongoing expectation for funding that the county will be devoting through this sales tax?
My honest answer is right now it's hard to determine, because we won't know what revenue streams come in. The best option for sustainability is to diversify your payer source, which is slightly more common lingo in the insurance world for healthcare. And so that will play a part. And without knowing the exact demographics of who walks through the door for any one program, it's hard to know how many come in who have no insurance or no ability to pay versus those who come in with a Medicaid or managed care plan versus private insurance. And some of the programs are designed where they can accept any and all, where we know other programs are more heavily targeted to those that are unfunded or with a Medicaid plan. And so until that revenue begins to come in and we see that mix, it's hard for me to know exactly what ongoing expenses for the programs are going to be.
So with a higher percentage of uninsured, it sounds like the county's costs would then go up accordingly.
Yes.
And we can sort of take these one by one, but first, Tricia, big picture, how far along has the county come since where we were a year ago?
It has gone from not just one person, but programs becoming live and off the ground and beginning to serve people. And so we've had the FUSE program quietly running for a while. I say quietly because that's the nature of how we reach out to people. It's not a program that we're broadcasting. And in part because it's not one that individuals and other agencies necessarily refer to, because we're identifying who those folks are. And our triage center is getting closer to being able to open its doors. We continue to develop the outpatient telepsychiatry program, and we're all really excited to be able to begin to offer the request for proposals for the adolescent program. So I think a massive amount of work has been done in a year and a half.
How close are you to full staffing for starting with the FUSE program?
We are relatively close to full staffing. We have two positions left to fill for that particular program, and One of those actually has had their first round of interviews, and so we're in our second phase, so we're actually relatively close to fully staffed for the FUSE program.
And FUSE is for frequent users who frequently encounter the criminal justice system, mental health, hospitals, and that sort of thing. And a challenge that you've indicated in the past is being able to find those people in the community and connect with them. If you can sort of elaborate on that and how you're trying to combat the difficulty sometimes in finding these people who you're trying to help.
So a lot of it is also relationship building with the other agencies and services that these people are connected to or may be connected to. So it means strong relationships with our inmate services staff in the jails. It means strong relationships with our homeless shelters and with a number of the places who offer lunches during the day. And so our staff also spend time going to St. Mary's or Home Sweet Home during the lunch hours to see if they can locate anyone. In addition to having those working relationships with the other providers in town who know the types of individuals we're looking for, even if they don't know specifics, they know the target population, and they know that the individuals who meet the criteria for FUSE have intersected with at least two of the three high-cost, high-need systems. And so sometimes we do get contacted asking if an individual may be on our list because they've encountered that person and believe they could benefit.
And explain where the triage center is now as you get that rolling along, where it's housed and how they're getting help and then being sent to other providers.
The triage center is located on the southwest corner of the first floor of the 200 West Front Street building, which is the same building that houses the health department and many of its clinics, as well as the Regional Office of Education and several other county offices. Individuals can walk in and seek the help that they need when they're experiencing a behavioral health crisis. We anticipate opening before the end of the year. Construction is nearly complete, and we're waiting on a few finishing touches to then be able to request clearance from the city for occupancy. So we're getting a lot closer to that. And once people come in, they will be assessed. They will have, in the moment, de-escalation and an immediate intervention, while also having the safe, calming space to decompress on their own after they've been seen if they want. They can stay for up to 23 hours. But part of our job and part of our role in that is to also link them back to existing community resources.
Is there a concern from the sense that there are some providers in the community that are strapped? They're strapped for cash, they're strapped for staff. Center for Human Services had last year stopped taking new clients. Are you concerned about running into that situation where you may wish to refer them and there may not be a place for them to go, and they may end up needing more accelerated care than maybe they really need?
I think it's hard to know exactly what the landscape may be at any one point in time, as we've seen not just in the past year, but in recent years, and even dating back to 2014, 2015, when the state made some changes. Each agency responds a little bit differently. And so I think it's difficult to know what the next year or 2 years may look like in terms of the service landscape. But I also think that we're a community that responds and adapts as needed. And so I also have confidence that if something shifts, that there will be another option available.
And then specifically adolescent care, this seemed to have developed as the mental health program has sort of unfolded. What specific attention are they getting?
So the Adolescent Intensive Outpatient Services Program is a program that is designed for adolescents aged 13 to 18 and really was a result of the chairman forming a committee out of the Behavioral Health Coordinating Council last fall to begin to look at what specific services were needed. And that group resoundingly determined that an intensive outpatient services program is what our community needs to serve as an in-between step to traditional outpatient programs and hospitalization for adolescents, recognizing that there's a big gap in that range, and that adolescents return to the community from a psychiatric hospitalization without enough supports in place. And they may return to school and struggle in that environment and not be able to maintain their level of functioning And so this serves as that in-between area.
As we continue on Sound Ideas, I'm Eric Stock with Camille Rodriguez, McLean County Administrator, and Tricia Malott, Supervisor of the Behavioral Health Coordinating Council for McLean County. And Camille, the county basically runs these behavioral health programs. What role do the City of Bloomington and the Town of Normal play in this, aside from contributing their sales tax dollars?
In my role as County Administrator, I communicate with Pam Reese and Tim Gleason probably on a weekly basis, perhaps not always specifically about this intergovernmental agreement, but in our new roles, the three of us being fairly new, we've dedicated ourselves to having regular communication. On a more formal level, the town and the city are part of the Behavioral Health Coordinating Council. They are active participants in that process, and in those ways, they contribute. We provide them with updates at their request, even above and beyond the council meetings. And I think we've got a very great level of support.
That was Behavioral Health Coordinating Council Supervisor Tricia Malott and County Administrator Camille Rodriguez with WGLT's Eric Stock.